continuing in the Sefer Bavli Mishkan Evnes commentary on the Mesillas Yesharim, we're on the top of page Resh Mem Ches, talking about how man has a responsibility to bring out the Adam in all the material things that exist in this world. And one of the examples that the Mesillas Yesharim brings is that all the stones under Yaakov all wanted the tzaddik to rest his head upon themselves. And the Gemara says that they all were gathered in one place. And that's the next lesson he's going to teach us here. V'nei lashon chazal, the words of the rabbi say, melamech niskaptu kulam b'lamokom echad. They teach us that they all gathered to be in one place. So let's try to understand, what does that statement mean? V'esh nisponein ma kavon l'mokom echad. What does it mean they all want to be in one place? Specifically in that one place they couldn't all be. His head is in this place. How can all the rocks want to all be under his head? How can they all want to be in one place? If one rock is in one place, the other rock cannot be in its place. How can they all be in the same place? Where is this one place to be found that they all could be in the same one place? So the simple meaning is that they all surrounded Yaakov. But that's only an allegory. They never really moved. They didn't speak. So what's going on? What's this allegory? What's it all teaching us? There must be a deeper meaning over here. Some call it the angel of the rock. Or call Lashon Charsi any other expression. But what is the real meaning? Him came, therefore, Shiniskap Tsukuma Kamacha Kagavana Lagilui Shakol Tachlisam Hi La Los Felis Alos Sursarum. The meaning of they gathered in one place, the intention is to reveal that all their goal in life of their existence is to go up and to be elevated to become the tzuras ha'adam, the shape of man, to bring in that concept of the extension of the human being. Mikivan shekulam gilu tachos echas. So the point is, all the rocks were revealed for the same goal. They all had the same goal. And that goal was achieved by all of them. That's what it means. They all gathered into one place. They all gathered to become the beneficiaries of the same goal that Yaakov elevates all of them, that they all have a meaning and a purpose, and they're now elevated in service of man, that they are no longer called an inanimate object, but they are now elevated to the status of being the Adam, the human being, because they now are part and parcel of his reality. How did they elevate themselves? Through the complete man, Yaakov Avinu. Because his shape was like the shape of the first man, as it is said in the Gemara in Baba Basra. The allegory of Lutzado is very deep. The rabbis tell us that in the holy, mystical, Kabbalistic chariot that exists above. So the different wheels, and there's different faces. So you have a face of the lion to the right, surely small, an ox to the left. Yesh nesher, yesh suras adam. There's an eagle, and then there's the shape of the human being. Umit suras adam shem b'merkava. Who is that human being? Who's that picture of? Amar chazal demus tam chakuka b'kisei. The demus, the shape. Oh. Of the wholesome one is etched into the throne, and that's none other than Yaakov Avinu. So Yaakov Avinu was the complete man. And by being the complete man, that's how Yaakov Avinu had the entire world serving him, being elevated through him, and being elevated to the level of being an Adam as he is. So La'el Huskarna Sheili Godel Hula Briyash Bios Misham Sharm Hashem. Before we discuss how it's a great elevation for the creations to serve man, the complete man. The definition doesn't mean it just serves the man, but rather it becomes a portion and a part of that human shape. These are the two examples that Lutzaro brings. It's the tzaddikim in the future who will be able to make use of this hidden light, or tzaddik in this world. That's why Davka Yaakov is the example of all the people in the world. Why? Because he is the shape, the form of that human being, who is that perfected human being, who is exactly that, is exemplified and etched under the throne of glory of the holy chariot. So this, so he's finished with the two examples of describing how the world gets elevated through being in use of the human being. Okay, continuing the words of the Masil Shasharim at the bottom of page Reish Mem Ches. And to this main point, the rabbis in the Medrash Koheles point out, Shomer Zichron Vrach, they mention the following. It's a pasuk in Koheles that says, Re'ei es ma'asel Elokim kim yuchol l'takein es asher yisrael. Look at the acts of Hashem, and who can repair that which they destroy? What is that pasuk referencing? Like this. When Hashem created the first human being, and he took him around for a trip around all the trees of Gan Eden, and he said to him, look at all my creations, what I've done, and how beautiful and praiseworthy they are. And everything I created for you. So pay attention. So you shouldn't damage and destroy my world. That's the Medrash. So a few important ideas that are brought out in this Medrash. So let's see what he explains on Reish Mem Tes. L'chayra, ma shehevi kan ramchal, asivir chazal v'kolos rabba, huvedei lahara shemetziyash kol abriya kuli l'shamas ha'odom. The first simple message is, as we've been teaching all along, is to teach us that the reality of all creation is there to serve man. Kodesh Baruch Hu machzer oso al kol ilana v'omar lo. He takes him by all the trees and says to him, kol ma shebrasi b'shevil chabrasi. Everything I created for you. Hareisha kol nechshol l'tzarko. Everything's for his use and for his need. That's the simple meaning. Everything in this world is for man's use. Of course, people mistakenly can think that, oh, so I can selfishly use it for what I want. But on a deeper level, there's something much deeper, totally different what Lutzaro is trying to bring out from this Medrash. Bishvilcha barasi, those words that say that I created them for you, Klomar, why for you? I created them so that they should be elevated to your level. So instead of this Chazal saying, listen, you got the whole world for whatever enjoyment you want out of it, that's not what it means. It means that they're created for you to elevate them. They're a huge responsibility on you that you have to bring out and elevate what they're supposed to be. You can't just let those things exist without you giving them a purpose. And now with this, he will now take the most abused Yerushalmi, probably in the entire Jerusalem Talmud. Yiduim divrei Yerushalmi shasidon litan asadin al kol masha roi novelonem emenu. It's well known the words of the Jerusalem Talmud that says that in the future, and then after a person dies, a person will be held accountable for everything his eyes saw and that he did not benefit from. And the way that people in general translate this chazal simply is, a person has to eat just in time, Shelley, your favorite Gemara. The simple meaning is, when we hear this chazal, that Hashem will hold us accountable for not enjoying everything in this world, is that we have to benefit from it. And there are those who now use that as a support for them to support their lusts to eat. Really, people are lustful, And they say, oh, now I have a good excuse to be lustful. Chazal say, I have to be lustful. They say, I'm going to be held accountable for not enjoying everything in this world. So he says, clearly, Vadai Shalozu Kavonas Yerushalmi. This is certainly not what the Jerusalem Talmud meant. Ella, but it means like this. Shimro Einov Machol Kolsho. If a person sees any food in front of him, Zes Siman, this is a sign, if he's on the right level, Shalov Lahalos Osa Dechiloso. It's his obligation to elevate it through his eating. And if not so, Osid Hu Lito Nasadin, he has to now be accountable for that. Why did you not take advantage and elevate it to become the level of a human being? In other words, what the Rishalmi is saying, that you'll be held accountable for everything in this world that you haven't benefited from, doesn't mean you're supposed to search the entire world and find exotic pleasures. It means to say that anything that came into your periphery, and it came into your realm of existence, did you elevate it to reach the highest levels it was meant to reach in its existence? Did you take this and make it an object for your service of Hashem? And therefore, it now elevates itself to become part of this great and glorious entity called the human being. As we said so many times, all the four elements are meant to reach to the level of being human being. It only happens if the human being takes it and uses it totally in his service for Hashem. So getting back to the ice cream. Right, getting back to the ice cream. I'm saying it was for a chasana. The ice cream was on the table. Right? But there's no obligation for you to go to the store and buy a tub of ice cream. It's an obligation for you to go to Baskin Robbins and say, well, now that I'm here, let me... No, if Hashem sends it your way, then there was a reason for you to have to deal with it, but not for you to go searching for it. That's the difference. And again, a person has to be very careful. You know, are you doing it L'Shem Shemayim or not? If you're not doing L'Shem Shemayim, then you haven't helped anything. Okay, it's a hard call for a person to be totally in sync with what his true desires are. We're not going to deny the difficulty involved. But all that Chazal means is, it's not saying you have to go and enjoy everything in this world. It's saying whatever pleasure Hashem did send your way, did you elevate it to the highest levels possible that it could be elevated for? And that's what God will hold you accountable for. Every dollar that was in your possession, Hashem's gonna make an accounting with you. He's gonna audit you. He's going to say, okay, how did you use this dollar, the Shem Shemayim? How did you use that dollar, the Shem Shemayim? Everything that I had you pass by a certain pleasure, how did you make that pleasure, Shem Shemayim? Just eating it doesn't mean it was the Shem Shemayim. You had to eat it and think how much you love Hashem and how wonderful Hashem is. Then that's something that you've elevated. That's the only thing that Medrash means. V'kein k'shenir gam... Same way the way Lutzado learns this medrash. It's totally different than the simple meaning. It says, everything I create in this world, I created for you. It's not simply so you should benefit from it. It means for your purpose I create it. For your service. It's necessary for your elevated service of Hashem. She tells somebody that you have to elevate that object and bring it up to the level of an Adam, which also now explains the other Chazal that he's not bringing now, where a person is obligated to say, Bishvili Nivra Olam, the world is created for me. Same meaning. The world is created for me, that I have the serious responsibility to elevate the entire world to my level and to use it all L'Shem Shemayim. This is not, wow, a ticket to the great storehouse of pleasure in this world, and just hop around and enjoy it all. That's not. It's a responsibility more than anything else, and that's what a person is obliged to say. I've got this responsibility to elevate the world around me, and not just to take pleasure in it. And that already is a very difficult task. That's how we learn all these things here. Now the question is. That's the case. Now we got a little bit of a problem. What did the Medrash say? Hashem said to Adam Rishon when he took him around the entire garden, he said, pay attention not to destroy my world. So now Kadmi said, Reris Shelep Shuta, now a simple question can be asked. That's true, a person should not destroy God's world. Bar, that's clear. We have to be careful not to destroy it. But Hashem should have told Adam Rishon a little more than that. Not just don't destroy my world, which, based on everything we're learning, what should Hashem have told Adam Rishon? Pay attention to build my world. Aren't Talmidei Chachamim busy in building Hashem's world? Hashem should have said, be busy elevating my world, not destroying my world. If the whole purpose is to elevate the world to become to the level of Adam Rishon, that's the positive thing. Why are you only focusing on the negative? Don't destroy. Elevate it. And more than that, what kind of destruction can you even bring to this world? Chuvaladova, the answer is, we're speaking about first man before he sinned. Then there was no purpose of elevating the world to the level of man. Why? Because the whole world was already in the shape of the human being. The whole world was an elevated world. The first world in the beginning was a perfect world insofar as the whole world already was designed beautifully to, as it was, serve man, and it did serve man, and it was on the level of man. So the only thing man had to do is lo laros, not to destroy. It already was on that level. So ligrom lekach shadomim lo yir adam. You shouldn't cause that the inanimate object should no longer appear to be in the image of man. That already is. Shatzomach lo yir adam, vachai lo yir adam. You shouldn't damage the plant and the animals that they should no longer appear to be in service of the human being. So when first man sinned, now inanimate plant and animal no longer appear to be like human beings. Now our job is to bring them back up and to elevate them. That's the job now. Before it was just not to lower them. Reishnun. But on a deeper level, Kodem chait Adam Arishon, hu lo hoya tzarech lahalos osam, kesa kol nigla b'tzur shal Adam. Right, before the sin of first man, he didn't have to elevate them, because they were already revealed as the shape of man. El shekukol, but because he destroyed it, hu ibid b'zeh es asam anosh. It lost the human image. K'meo shiradu me'arizal, like we know from the Arizal. Shebishash Adam chote, mistal v'men atzal manosh. That when a human being himself sins, he removes from himself the human image. Suras Adam Shrom is Talekas was his talk of Gamma Echait, Suras Adam, the Gam came as a method of him. In other words, once a human being sins, he defames his own image. And once his image is defamed, then all the other things around the world that are dependent on him, his image, they go down the way he goes down. Mayata, therefore, him came, comes out of Avodah Kful. The job is a double job. Yeah. Adam tzarech lahatzel lahatzel tzuras Adam pnimis. Person has to restore his own inner human form and shape. V'gam lahatzel tzuras Adam l'tzomeach l'dom l'chai, and then bring back the human shape to the plant, inanimate animal world. Tein gaid chashot tekalkov teches lomi hala. Be careful not to destroy it any further. You got to also have in mind to build it up. So therefore, that was the difference. Adam Arishon's sin was not just a sin for himself, it was a sin for the whole world. It brought down the whole world, and now you can understand why the world now is going to bring forth thorns and thistles. Why the world will bring down thorns and thistles? Before, it didn't bring down any thorns and thistles. You could tell that a grape was human. Why? Because the grape just had to get crushed and you had grape juice. That's a human grape. That's not a stomach grape. Right? There's no such thing as byproduct. Right? But as soon as man sins, Now, that's the kind of vineyards we have today. Lots of waste, lots of byproduct, lots of hard work. It's very far from appearing to be like a human being. Now you got a lot of work to bring it and elevate it back to its place. So now we have a double job. We have to make ourselves become human beings again. What does it mean, the Tzuras Adam? Tzuras Adam means Adam in the Tzelem Elokim, to act in a godly fashion. We have to now rise above our natural tendencies. Our natural tendencies are to be Balei Taivas, narcissistic people. That's what Adam gave us as a gift, for us to become narcissistic people. We're no longer the Tzelem Elokim, which is the ultimate Tzuras Adam. And now we have to bring ourselves up to be elevated godly beings, to be Domet Hashem. When we're Domet Hashem, then we bring out the real humanness that is within ourselves, and then the rest of the world in serving us will become human as well. And that becomes the task that we all have. Now we're at the three diamonds. We'll take a question. Yeah?
In the perfect world before the sin, every animal and plant and everything looked like Adam.
Didn't look like. Well, didn't look like. It was like Adam. It was like an extension way of Adam.
Right. It served Adam in the perfect way. Absolutely
right,
perfect.
Right. Right.
Where did the snake come from?
Well, Hashem created that snake for the test.
So then it wasn't completely perfect at that
point. No, it was. Adam would have to be tested to see if he will continue to maintain that level. If there would be no test, then he doesn't grow from that process. He had one little thing he had to finish off, and that bitachon in Hashem. So Hashem would have to test him with that bitachon in Hashem with the snake. All Adam had to say was, "Mr. Snake, I'm not listening to you. You're fooling us." And that's the one being who you're meant to destroy. That's the Amalek. There has to be a choice to not want to do what Hashem tells you. And that's what the snake's purpose was for.
Up to the point of the snake, Adam was quite content and he was living happily in there and everything was fine, everything was perfect.
That's right, Hashem had to test him. Remember, man cannot be in a world that he doesn't earn his keep. You have to earn your keep. There has to be a place of Avodas Hashem. If there is no Yetzer Hara at all, there's no Avodas Hashem. So there has to be a free will choice. What's the free will choice if there's no Yetzer Hara? There has to be Yetzer Hara to want to say, listen, I want to take you down. I want to destroy this world. So you want to destroy it with me or not? Right? And with all the calculations that the snake brought him to. Not just Stam, he said, be bad. He convinced him that it was a mitzvah to eat from the Yetzer Hara. But the bottom line in, it was a mitzvah to not listen to Hashem. That was his mistake. It's a perfect world with one thing that had to be finished off. The perfect world also means that the first man makes the right choice. And Hashem has to give him the venue of the free will choice to decide if he wants to make the right choice. Otherwise, it's not a perfect world means the man has earned his keep. And he can't earn his keep unless he's tested. And therefore he'll be tested by the snake. The snake is the agent of Hashem. Now the perfected snake would be the one that Adam doesn't listen to. And says, okay, I know what your job is. Your job is to test me. I will not be fooled by you. And I will carry on the way I'm supposed to. And I will not listen to you. And then the snake will be finished. You're out of business.
Man, we're destined to sin, wasn't he?
I don't like the word destined.
Well, because that's the
he had a free will choice. He didn't have to do it. Nobody forced him to do it.
Then
he made a choice, and he made the wrong choice.
Everything that has happened since then would not have happened.
Correct, and that would have been fine. Didn't have to happen. But Hashem knew.
The Torah was written before that. Hashem had the Torah, and yet everything was already in it.
All right, we're going back to old issues. Again, you know, the way the Torah finally made its way down to planet Earth, you know, would depend a lot on what Adam would do. Hashem said, no, it's plan A, it's plan B. It's all written in the Torah. If man doesn't sin, we go to plan A. If he sins, we go to plan B. That is all part of what the Torah was all about. All the letters of the Torah are there. The question is, how do we rearrange them? How do we rearrange them? That's all. We got all the materials as necessary. It's all there. Everything you need is there. Question is, how are we going to have them finally manifest themselves in this world? Will depend on what Adam Rishon does. Hashem looked in the door. He created this beautiful world. He created the challenges. He created the backup system if man fails. He created the non-backup system, the first system if man doesn't fail. Now we'll see what man does. And based on what he does, eventually, humankind, by the end of 6,000 years, is going to succeed. And then we'll get to that ultimate destiny that all of mankind was supposed to have. Okay, the three diamonds. Anresh Nun. Vinei. Kamalel, as we mentioned before. Komash v'arkadosh baruch hu ba'olam noed b'kdei l'shamish z'adam ha'shalom ha'mkudosh v'kdushas baruch hu. We already said that everything that is in this world is destined to serve the holy complete person. Moshe Nemar, it says, what did Hashem say to Adam Rishon? Uridu b'digas ha'yom of Hashemayim, and you shall dominate, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the heavens. Meaning to say, mutal adam lishtamish v'alei chayim v'lechlasam, a person is allowed to make use of animals and eat them. V'lo chayis v'hevavad, not just animals, el mishtamishim anu b'harbe d'varmir, we make use of a lot of things in this created world. So all of these bodies, we need now to reflect. L'shem ma hinenu mishtamshim. For what purpose are we making use of these things? Are we making use of them because we're getting pleasure out of them? Or is our use of them not for our needs but to elevate them? That becomes the ultimate question of everything you take in this world. You have to ask yourself, am I taking this for my own selfish needs or am I taking them to give this thing purpose? Okay, a person has an animal, he has an ox, it's plowing in his field. So the question is, Mao Tofis, how does he grasp the situation? Very interesting question. Me ovedes me. Who is serving who? You take a plow, you harness it up to a plow, you are leading the ox to plow your field. Who is serving who? Vadai, on one level, certainly Abahebo of NSOC. The animal is serving me. It's plowing my field. Kishuroch, when you're riding on a horse, me ovedes me, who is serving O? Hasus ovedesi, anirach evelot, this horse is serving me, I'm riding on it. Avoy make it deeper. Horem huze, shoevedes hasus, oes abehema, who oved lalosom, the person is serving the horse. The person is serving the animal. Why? Because he's working hard to elevate them to reach his level. They're really both serving each other. The animal is serving the person insofar as doing what the person is telling him to do, but that really is only because the person is serving the animal to elevate it to become the animal what it's meant to be. The animal is meant to be an appendage of man, and when the animal is used to plow the land that eventually gets harvested, eventually a bracha is made on the food that is grown on that field, then that animal has fulfilled its goal in life. It was my job to make sure it fulfills its goal in life.
What do we say for a wild animal? A tiger.
Okay, it's got some use. Again, part of the ultimate food chain. In other words, there is a ripple.
We don't do anything.
There's a ripple effect. There's a ripple. No, don't put them. We're not meant to put them in a zoo.
No, I know. So
there's a ripple effect.
What do we do to serve a wild animal? It's going to do what it does on its own. We're not doing anything.
Well, when the lion roars, it gets you to have yiras shamayim. Right? That's what the Navi says. When the lion roars, does not one fear? So Hashem brings a lion in the world for you to realize this is an example of the awesome. Thunder. Okay, thunder. How do we bring thunder to its goal in life? Well, you make a bracha and you think, this is what Hashem means when he is powerful. It gives me an idea. Gives me an idea of what it means that God is powerful. So the same thing with a lion. You know, so not everything do I have to take in my hands and use it. I have to integrate the message that the lion gives for us.
You see that with a tree too. You could say a California redwood.
Right. I mean, you know, part of it is I don't abuse it. I need it also to oxidize the air, and I have to take care not to pollute the world, to take care. Certain amount of the world you take care of. You know, we're not meant to chop down every tree. We're not meant down to not chop down any trees. We have to chop down part of the trees to build homes, leave other trees and make sure they're existing to oxygenate the environment. So they all have their purpose to the extent that we can. Obviously, you can't go to every single tree in the world and take care of every single tree in the world. It's not physically possible. But you create an environment that is not toxic to the rest of your environment. That is necessary for your world. Right? As much as humanly possible. And it's all part of a very complex chain that if you do your, you know, again, let's come to the simple idea. How do we elevate the goyim of the world? We have to elevate the goyim of the world also, don't we? Is a goy any less than a cow? He's more than a cow. He needs to be elevated to become a Jew also, doesn't he? So how do we elevate? So I've said it many times before. How does Joe the Italian truck driver, right? Okay, when I make a brook on the food that he delivers, he's elevated too. And I have him in mind. You know, that's how we're taking everything in that world and working it to elevate it. So really the work is on us. That's the real issue here. Okay, now we come to something that hits home more. Bottom paragraph. Let's say a person has children. There's two ways to look at children. One way is, the more kids I have, the more servants I have. More people to work on the farm. They're all going to listen to me and do what I want. We always want to merit, give them merit to fulfill the mitzvah of kibud avim. Right, so they're there to serve me. The smarter person may be, the more kids you have, you have more work to do. The outer service, the external service, is to raise them. But the inner work is, as Hashem said about Avraham Avinu, that Avraham will have kids to command his children to follow the ways of Hashem. It's a big job to bring children into the world, to bring children to become servants of Hashem, to train them to be over the Hashem. Whew, that's a big job. Having children, that's a job. It's not an asset. They're not assets. They are resources that you have to channel to become their own servants to Hashem. No, so this whole idea of Jewish nachas is a real misnomer. Nachas means they're here to give me nachas. That's not true.
Well, they do want you to do what you're supposed to do with them. They should be able to return it in that fashion.
They're not there to return nothing to you.
Wow.
They're not there to return nothing.
You observe that they are where you want them to
be. You raise up a daughter for 23 years. She meets a boy, moves out of town. You only see her twice a year, and that's the end of it.
But she's fulfilling the purpose.
She's fulfilling her purpose. She's not necessarily, you know. Here's what nachas, real Jewish nachas, means. I feel really good for Hashem. I'm happy for Hashem.
Yeah, that's what.
And that's not how people look at Jewish nachas. Look at Jewish nachas. Is my daughter doing what I want to do or not? I wanted her to get graduate university and be a doctor, whatever. Oh, then I have nachas, because now I have a kid who's a doctor. Look what kind of great parent. Everyone's going to say that I am. And if I ever am sick, I'll get free medical treatment. Right? And they'll make a lot of money. And, you know, one day they're going to buy me a condominium in Florida. If you ask a person, what's real Jewish nachas? You have successful kids, and they take care of you. And they are your showcase to show off how good a parent you were. That's how most people translate Yiddish and Nachas.
If they leave Hashem out of the formula, of course, that's wrong.
That's how most people translate Nachas.
But the people who do not do that, they do understand what they're doing for. You can't blame them for
that. But Nachas means that I appreciate that God is happy with the situation.
Right.
But that doesn't mean I'm going to get any benefits from this. And many times you get zero benefits from it. You get zero benefits from it. The kid starts their own life, and they're not obliged. Besides, they have their own personal mitzvah of honoring you. Doesn't mean to say they're going to do things that you want them to do. You know, you have to raise them. I want to raise them to be the best Eved Hashem they can be,
right.
And that can be totally different than the way I'm an Eved Hashem.
But they will do what you thought them to do, which is what it was for.
What I teach them to do is to listen to Hashem and not to me.
Right.
And most people don't like that. Most people don't like that. That's very difficult. They are a lot of effort expended. This is where you have to really love Hashem. I'm doing this all for Hashem. I bring children to the world. I get no benefit from this. I am working for them. I'm building them up, taking them from a selfish, narcissistic baby and developing them into a very spiritual person who will listen to everything Hashem wants them to do. And many times it's not even going to be in my physical interest. You know,
you still get benefits.
And when they're married, I support them in Kollel, and instead of me taking a vacation to Florida, they sit and learn. And I'm already getting older, and I feel I should deserve some warm sun every year, and I'm not going to get any because I have to support them in a Kollel somewhere. And that's what it means to give Hashem nachas, not you. Now your nachas is only enjoying Hashem's nachas. That's already a big level. That's not how we look at nachas. My nachas is he's serving Hashem, and I'm spending money on him serving Hashem. I have something to do with it, but I don't get any direct benefit from it. I'm not getting anything from it. I'm not getting any pleasure. Anything. I'm getting less pleasure. I'm working harder. I spent $250,000 giving my kid a Jewish education. What did I get from it? Hashem got a lot from it. Good. I'm happy for Hashem. But I don't have a cottage. I could have had a cottage for all the money I spend on them. Like every summer I could be up in the cottage and relaxing. Instead I'm working hard to be able to support them through Jewish day school. That's nachas. It's nachas if you understand what real nachas is. A nachas ruach l'Hashem. The only time nachas is mentioned in the Torah is Hashem's satisfaction. You bring a korban, right? It's a reach nichoach l'Hashem. It's a pleasant smell for Hashem. Hashem has to get nachas. That's real Jewish nachas, that Hashem gets nachas, not us. Our nachas is taking pleasure in Hashem's pleasure. That's a whole different way of looking at things. Okay, continuing with this theme, Reish and Aleph. He's playing on a vessel. A person look at himself. How do you look at everything around you? Is he serving them or are they serving him? Hashem gives him inanimate things like a house and furniture. He gives us plants, gives us living things. Is everything that's around us from inanimate, plant, and living disappears for our needs? Or is this the type of service that we have to do now? It's our job that we have now. Everything that is essentially in this world that's been given to us is for our responsibility to elevate them to become the shape of the human being and not to serve us for our needs. Because all kosev, a rabbi says, in the future, it says we're going to have thousands of non-Jews serving us. What does that mean? Eight non-Jews holding on to one talus string. What does that mean? Is there going to be these great royal people with lots of servants? That's going to be great. Boy, I'm going to enjoy when Mashiach comes. I'm going to finally get all the servants I want. A king. That's not what it really means. That's a type of elevation. Now I got more worries on my head. How am I going to give these Jews a purpose? These non-Jews a purpose? What am I going to give Alfredo to do? What am I going to give Johan? Ibrahim? I got to give them work to do that's going to make them fulfilled. So now it's even more work is going to be when Mashiach comes. What did we say a few weeks ago? That a person is in a very delicate balance. It means man is given everything he needs in this world. Some have a lot, some have a little, but everybody has what they need in this world. The question is, how do you make use of it? Does he only make use of it for his own personal narcissistic pleasures? Or is he using these things to elevate those things? It's a world of chesed. You have to have chesed, not just other people. You have to have chesed to the animals, the plants, the rocks. I'm doing a chesed to those objects that they should be elevated. So not only is the whole world not about me vis-a-vis other people, the whole world's not about me, about anything. I have to look at everything in this world and say, that's the ultimate, that people are into nature, right? To take care of the environment. The ultimate environmentalist is the one who says, I have a job not to keep the world as it is. The environmentalists, really, they think they're like Adam HaRishon. Just to make sure not to destroy the environment. It's a big mistake. They're not Adam HaRishon. The whole world is in a destroyed state. We have to elevate it. A real environmentalist looks, how do I take everything and make it better? I can't sit back and just enjoy it. I have to make it better. I have to elevate it. Same thing, we'll end with this point. V'karasal Shabbos Einig. The Navi says, you call Shabbos a delight. A person eats and enjoys Shabbos food. For what reason are you enjoying it? It's only that he should enjoy it. In other words, is he there to elevate it? That now is part of the Shabbos experience, and now the chicken soup is now a person? Or is the chicken soup less than a chicken? Because human being is less than a chicken, because he's just a selfish pig who's stuffing himself. In other words, what do you see Shabbos? Shabbos is the day that everything you've been practicing a whole week long, you bring it to the ultimate. You have complete 100% kavana to elevate. That's what you're busy doing all whole Shabbos. If Shabbos is the taste of the world to come, so what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing eating and fresting on food? The question is, I've work to do. I've worked. I have to elevate this chicken. This chicken has a purpose. Everything in this world has a purpose. I'm bringing korbanos. That's what korbanos were. Korbanos was to elevate the entire world. These are my korbanos I'm bringing on Shabbos. That's what the command is. Ve'karasol Shabbos oinig. Call the Shabbos a delight. Talas atanugos hanim sebechamek Shabbos. Elevate the pleasures that are found in this physical world. Elevate them into the holiness of Shabbos. Fulfill the einig with the physical in a way in which they enhance and make use of the Shabbos. Then you'll take the pleasure and elevate it to the holiness of Shabbos. You call the Shabbos a delight, meaning that you take all the delightful things and elevate them to reach the highest levels of what a human being can be, which is on Shabbos. On Shabbos, you have the Neshama Yisera. You're the biggest human being you can be the whole week long is on Shabbos. Elevate that world to reach your highest levels of Neshama Yisera. To be the complete person. On Shabbos, you have the ability to be the complete person. It could be like Yaakov Avinu. What does the Gemara say? Anyone who keeps Shabbos the way they're supposed to, right? You're rewarded with Nachla B'li Meitzarim. Inheritance without any boundaries, and that's what Yaakov Avinu's blessing was. You'll spread out endlessly. It's Yaakov. You have the Yaakov's blessings. You'll be the perfect person. That's what you. And Shabbos is the hope. You can take all that physical stuff and really elevate it. That's what the Shabbos is all about. That's the Oynik Shabbos that we call Oynik Shabbos. Not that the food is serving me, but I am serving the food for the first time. All week long in the best way possible. Okay. good place to stop for today.